This is 16-9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16-9 has been online for more than a decade now, writing about and filtering the BS in the digital signage industry. Now it's also a podcast, a chance to talk to smart people doing interesting things in this business. You can listen to episodes online, grab it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to grab the RSS feed. 16-9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. This week, I'm speaking with Jim Nista, the CEO and founder of Insteo, a content company located just steps from the oceanfront in one of my favorite places, Long Beach, California. I've known Jim for several years now and had many good long talks about where the industry is at and where it's going. He's tried a few things, made a few pivots along the way, but he's really settled in now on making Insteo all about automated and semi-automated content for the small business sector. He's been around web technology for 20 plus years, so making the most out of what HTML5 offers has been second nature to him. Jim's also one of the smarter guys in the industry. Period. We caught up the other day by Skype. How do you describe Insteo right now? Because it's a company that's evolved through the years.
Yeah, we are still a content production shop first and foremost, but we also have kind of a library of content apps, pre-baked solutions. So we kind of do very large, very custom projects, and then there's a handful of those, followed by many, many, many of the smaller and medium-sized business, just content fulfillment.
And we met at Infocom like 6 years ago, something like that. And that time you were doing a social media thing where you were basically encouraging people to try to break your algorithms that did the automated moderation of content. So your company's taken a number of twists and turns since that time, has it not?
Yeah, we started with social media, again, like content apps or templates really was the idea behind that. We had the automated filtering, and I think at that Infocom, it was just a kind of a good gimmick to attract people to the booth that said, I think we were giving away an iPad or something like that, break our filters and win. And that was just a way to kind of separate us from some of the other companies that were doing live social media apps, widgets, whatever you want to call them. But we really had at that time already had other types of content following that same model, both other social feeds, photos and things like that. We were doing Flickr at the time. But we also had other types of non-social content back then that we just weren't getting a lot of interest in. It wasn't generating a lot of buzz in the press and everything else, but we still were kind of plodding along with these other solutions. And those were things that even we had developed for our own in-house use, like hot project screens and showing what's in the shop, KPI type stuff, employee facing. Mm-hmm. And so we always had all that. It just wasn't as flashy and as interesting as, let's say, it still is amazing to me. We have clients that we got because we were one of the first companies to have Foursquare on the screen. And we still have some of those accounts that have completely evolved away from that type of social content to other types of things. So I think it's always funny to say this is that the concept of tweeting to the screen and that momentary name and lights, it was flashy, it was cool, but very few people actually wanted to do it. And we didn't sell a lot of it. We sold the kind of behind the scenes, more static or not static, but more basic, mundane type of content that clients are looking for.
It's interesting that you were doing KPI screens and kind of employee communication screens with the social stuff 6 years ago and longer, when really that seems to be a very hot little sort of content area right now.
Yeah, we have a lot of experience with it, but not too many people knew about it because, again, it wasn't, you'd say we have an employee schedule solution or a lobby directory solution, corporate lobby directory solution, and no one would want to talk about it, but they would talk about, that we were doing Facebook likes, mm-hmm. live Facebook likes and check-ins. Now, we don't do any of that really anymore for the social side, and it's just based on demand. Mm-hmm. So, the demand was bigger a couple of years ago, but it was a lot of events, a lot of one-time digital signage is what we were doing back then, supporting the social side. But we've always just kind of been plodding along with the small business ones and twos screens type of solutions without a ton of customization. Yeah, it's interesting. It's always been there. We've had the app designer solution now. I think that was first launched in 2011. And that's just that ability to kind of change and customize colors and background graphics and those types of things within a, let's say, a lobby directory. We had those digital menus. We had those types of solutions all the way back then. It's just that no one seemed to care.
Mm-hmm. So let's kind of run with that, because social media for a long time has been seen as an interesting thing to do on digital sign screens, because it's constantly coming, it's user generated, therefore it's inexpensive and so on. But a couple of things have come up. One, there's intellectual property issues, but two, I've not seen a lot of good social media visualizations, and I don't mean just from the creative point of view, but actual execution of using social media in a useful way, other than just having the screen have different stuff on it.
Yeah, we did some larger events through some real large event production companies, including things around like Comic-Con and those types of huge events, and we were supporting those as much with kind of offline traditional marketing media as we were with the online functionality. And one of the ways that we were getting successful with that is turning things into contests or promotions. We did a Foursquare check-in kind of scavenger hunt. So it was the most successful digital signage social media experiences that I feel that we were able to deliver back then. There was always something printed associated with it. And what I mean by that is there was like a little flyer or rack card that had to go to explain what to do for the visitors and viewers. And that sounds a little strange, but it was an online, offline kind of experience of some real world application, or you're going to win something, check in and win. Those types of things is what made that successful. I think that there was a lot of hype and flash and just a lot of interest around the social, but no one really ended up turning it into anything huge. And even I think there's been some recent companies that have come on strong with all of the ideas and promise of user-generated content to the screen. But in the end, users don't generate great content, and you end up having to do a lot of curation. Or I also say that the name and lights syndrome, you know, it's cool once, and you want to see it one time, and then you're done. You never do it again. You know, my tweet ended up on the big screen. Okay, now next.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of that we were dealing with some of those events. So we really had to push hard to get people to participate with rewards and promotions and things like that. And then they would participate once and kind of go, huh, cool. And they would be done.
Yeah, and if you're going to do content curation, that's a good idea to be on the safe side. But in order for that to work, you have to have like a raging torrent of tweets and Instagram photos and everything else to find those two or three that are actually, as you allude to, that are actually interesting.
Yeah, and there's been some very bizarre kind of things that we've been involved with behind the scenes, where you have social teams at some of the larger live events that we've done behind the scenes actually, you know, picking and encouraging and trying to generate more content around these live events. You know, really just the idea is how many impressions can I get on my hashtag, because that's how I'm being measured. Mm-hmm. And so you have a huge live event, tens of thousands of people there or whatever it might be, big screens all over the place with live social content streaming through. And what you don't see is that there's, you know, a dozen people behind the scenes kind of running that social experience, both, you know, encouraging more tweets to come through and everything else. So we haven't been involved in one of those in a while, but I just don't think people were ever aware of how much of a team and how much expense went into kind of making some of that great content show up on a screen. So after all of that went away, if you were going to leave that social background feed running, you would lose all of that. You would lose all of that fresh content appeal and everything else, because there just wasn't this team of people kind of making it happen, as opposed to allowing it to happen organically. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, more and more we just saw that was happening. And then those live events, the budget started to get slashed in terms of what just doing social. And it would be, you know, we have less money and want to do more cool stuff that no one's thought about yet. Mm-hmm. But to talk about, we did a project in our office, in Long Beach. The TED convention used to be come into town, and this was probably 2009. We actually put very large screens in each of the windows in our office and on the seventh floor, and facing across to this fancy restaurant across the street where they were having a very private party for a lot of the people coming to the TED convention. And we were aggregating live Twitter and just pulling that across, you know, live. And I think the people at the restaurant, we had some people up there were didn't know what they were seeing and doing and how it worked. And they were all shocked, and this was amazing. And, you know, a year later, we, you know, nobody cared. So it was cool. It was fun to be involved with. But I think that, you know, again, we're seeing that the day-to-day needs of signage are so much more important.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the background of the company. You're pretty well known, at least in the U.S. and Canadian digital signage ecosystem, but probably not as much in Europe and beyond. Can you talk about where Insteo came from and kind of where you're at now? Because I know you've, in the past few months, set up something akin to a content store that I want to dig into.
Yeah, we started in digital marketing, and that would be everything from building websites to ad campaign, you know, online advertising, Google AdWords, those types of things is where we started. And that was back in 2002. And, you know, so a lot of HTML programming and interactive solutions and interactive websites and Flash work and everything else. In 2008, 2009, we started transitioning more towards just straight interactive work and signage, and began adapting what at the time was a web content management system that we built into a digital signage content management system. And that still exists today and is what supports that content store. So we don't really look at it in necessarily as we're trying to compete against whatever, how many hundred other content management systems are out there. Mm-hmm. But we do know that many of the content management systems don't have the ability to do line item editing. So commonly line item editing is changing the price of the hot dog, but it also may be changing the meeting times on your meeting room schedule board or changing the tenants on a lobby directory. So a lot of solutions, either any sort of line item editing that they offer is kind of spreadsheet based and focused on digital menu boards, or we're seeing, you know, they don't offer line item editing. They don't offer the ability to change, you know, so-and-so on the lobby directory board. So that's really where the content management system has navigated towards. It's just to support that. It has an API that supports all that content. And so when you have a lobby directory, now you can have anyone on any web browser really just go in and change a tenant name or schedule a change on a tenant name without having to learn a lot of software, download anything else. And that's really where we transitioned kind of from having a web content management system, which is now designed around changing a name of a tenant or the price of the hot dog for your menu board. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting kind of transition, but there's a lot of history in that CMS, and so it does a very good job of keeping that content up to date, fresh.
And from what I know of your company, you know, the last 3, 4, 5 years, a lot of the work that you've been doing has been project-based for individual customers, and it's just been in the last year or so when you've kind of come around to this notion of a store. So can you kind of explain how that works? Because in my point of view, it seems to be, rather than subscription news and weather and sports feeds and so on, you're offering a subscription service that's around functionality applications for, as you say, event calendars and so on. So can you kind of explain all that?
Yeah, you know, we're not trying to be like DigiChief or ScreenFeed or Datacall or any of those others that are really the news, weather, and sports content stores. Our focus is around content that is one-to-one. So when we're not pushing a news feed out to many screens, we're pushing a highly specific lobby directory feed to one screen. And that feed is what is created in our solution. So we have a lot of applications, but yeah, we'll get asked through the content store, like, well, we want to add a news crawl or whatever to a screen. And it's really not something that we do it every so often, but it isn't content that we look at reselling.
Good.
You know, we're looking at this and saying that what's missing from the other content stores is have a ability to edit on a line item basis the fields of a lobby directory. I keep coming back to that one, but you can assign it to anything else, like active projects in the shop kind of screens, right? You have employee or factory facing signage. You need to be able to have data feeding into that or some solution that allows you to edit that content on a frequent basis. So we do a lot of HR signage and a lot of employee facing, those types of things. Even just birthday messaging is a key factor. So that's really where those have evolved into. And then the side of the business in terms of the customization is, I think the other guys, the news, weather and sports guys, don't have to deal with this, but we do. They'll, you know, if somebody buys a news feed, they accept the layout and color that it comes in. It has, you know, blue fonts and it uses Arial and that's what you get. This is the layout. This is what you bought. What for us, we'll get the client saying, I love it. It's perfect as it is. But could you change this and change the font? And it's your lobby directory is two columns. I want it to be three columns and I want this. And all of that is obviously programming. And so we get about 80% of those projects ask for customization. About 20% will pay for it. And that's pretty common. So once we tell them that there's an upcharge associated with that, most of the clients will kind of settle in and say, okay, I'm happy with the existing look and feel of the app or template that you have to sell. But yeah, it is a very, very frequent question about, I would rather it look like this or work like this or animate like this. Now, we don't believe that anybody else in the content store space gets those types of questions. It's just us.
Right. There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
So I'm a small local furniture manufacturer, and I want to have a couple of digital signs in the back shop where production is done. That's saying, as you indicated, projects that are underway. How would I do that? Like, how am I working with Insteo on this?
Yeah, if our existing app has what you need, either if you're savvy enough, you're going to set it up. You know, just visit our sign up page and sign up for an account. Or if you need some hand holding, we do setup. You know, hosted setup for those. It's like an hour and a half billable. You know, and includes even in some cases getting your media player set up. So we're kind of doing all that initial handholding for a very small business like that. So that's if we have the existing piece that fits your needs, you can just pay a monthly fee and be done with it. We'll never know. You'll just do it and set it up.
And what am I getting? What am I getting? Am I getting a file? Is it FTP down to me, or am I defining a URL and stuff's just going to show up on the screen because I'm pointing to a specific URL?
Yeah, exactly that. You're getting a URL, and in many cases, these are what we'll call like a single serving screen. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a single zone, and it only needs to do that. You know, hot projects, right? We'll call that our hot. You know, we have a solution called the hot projects board. You know, it's generic. So it targets any sort of team and just gives you, you know, project name, project number, due date, and we have some color fields that will change based on priority. And so with that solution, if it's good to go, you're getting a URL. Now that URL that we deliver can go into certain media players without any additional content management system feeds, mm-hmm. right? So if you're just doing this single serving hot project screen, that's all you want it to be forever. You might use a BrightSign player and just plug that into the BrightSign player, that URL into that BrightSign player, and you're off and running.
Right.
And there's a lot of platforms that have that kind of internal browser functionality. A couple of them would be like Samsung Smart Signage or the LG WebOS Signage and Idea Players.
Right.
All really, you know, you turn them on, you turn on the Idea Player and it says, what's your URL? So for those single serving screens, that solution, just you don't need anything else. Now, if you want device management, you are a larger enterprise solution and you really do need some sort of device control or device management, there's some solutions that you can add in between the URL delivery we have and the media player to give you an added device management. Those aren't solutions that we offer. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of, you're that furniture store, you need three screens. They're not really too worried about device management. They're just worried about ease of setup.
Right.
And so if you imagine you have a media player, you turn that on, or a SoC built in, and you turn that screen on and it says enter your URL. And that's essentially what we're providing you with, is a URL. That URL has timing functionality. It has basic, is the connection on or off functionality to it. It doesn't have, we have a reboot function that works across different devices and those types of things. Just real basic kind of monitoring of, all we know is the network connection up. You know, we're not doing any sort of API level. Is the screen on? Is it on the right? Is it on the right input? Those types of things are really not anything that we offer in terms of our basic device management. But what we find is that most of those smaller companies don't need it. So they're plugging a URL in, typically directly into the device and running. And that's really the majority of the single use type of screens that we have.
And if I'm the shop manager, in order to change what's on that screen, that whatever the hot project is that I want to put up there, I'm just logging into a website and entering adjusting information in a form, right?
Yeah, or uploading a new Excel file if you choose to do it that way. And then oftentimes for those types of screens, we're doing a data connection. And so we'll write custom data connectors, but we already have data connectors for things like Google Sheets. So, you can be editing that. Maybe that content already exists in Google Sheets, and then we're just going to connect the dots between those two accounts.
You're making it dead simple for people.
Yeah, there's not much that you can do, and then there's not much that you can break.
Right.
So if you, let's say you wanted to set up a use case here is IDEA has the small meeting room signs that are HTML5 drivers, right? They have Wi-Fi and they do great HTML5 rendering. If you're setting up meeting room signage through Insteo, you're going to have punch in a URL unique to every screen, and that's it, and it's set up and running. As far as editing that content, we might create a data connector for you to your Exchange server, or you might not have an Exchange server and you just want to update the meeting rooms directly, or you have some other software and you're just importing, exporting. But we have an import feature that just allows you to automate a lot of the Excel file field mapping and those types of things when you bring content in. With meeting room signs, smaller hotels are commonly doing the import of a CSV or Excel file. That's just how they've decided that's the easiest way for them to get content in every day.
Mm-hmm. Now, the range of, how many different templates do you have in the store right now?
There's 25 different kind of use cases. It's how we have them sorted out.
Right.
Some of them are very similar to one another. So an example is we have this wonderful real estate kind of like home advertising template that just rotates through pictures, and you can put up your headshot for your agent, whatever else. We've also found that works pretty well for nightclubs. So we kind of modified the template a little bit, and now you can have upcoming events and shows and, the DJ that's playing Friday night kind of thing. So there's a little bit of overlap between them, but they're really vertical specific. So 25 vertical industries, pet adoption screens is something that we're finding more interest in. Just upload pictures of pets or tie a data connector to an RSS feed, and now you've got an automated solution that just runs through all of the pets in your database and lists them on the screen. That's the kind of stuff that we're doing. And it is possible for end customers to set that type of content up on their own if they're savvy enough. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll do it for them and charge a setup fee.
And on a month-to-month basis, assuming that's how the subscription works, what am I going to pay as an end user for using one of these scenarios, one of these templates?
Yeah, we're a little higher than the news, weather, and sports guys for that one screen. That's really all that's advertised on our website is the single screen cases. And that's $18 a month if you just have, one lobby directory on one screen.
Right.
And we're actually, having to maintain a support team because there is a content editing system where you could go. There's a website that you're going to log into if you're going to change that content on your menu board or whatever else. And so, yeah, that includes support as part of that, which is one of the reasons it's a little bit more expensive than the newsletter and sports. But
yeah, actually, I have control over it, though.
Yeah, you need to be able to change the price of the hot dog or you know, the fact that there's a new tenant moving into a suite 400 or whatever else. So yeah, that's all included, and it's email support. So you're just going to, you know, if you have a question or concern, you're just emailing your support team and they get back to you.
And this is all possible because of HTML5. It's not just HTML itself. It's HTML5 that makes the difference here, because you've got the ability to do motion and things like that, correct?
Yeah, on some platforms we have motion. HTML animation is pretty resource intensive. Mm-hmm. You don't think just moving a graphic across the screen eats up a lot of resources, but it does. So, you know, with animation, we're targeting the higher end players. But the animation aside, what really is behind the scenes of this is a standard kind of multi-tier application with database layer, API layer, and then on the media player side, there's custom Insteo JavaScript plugins that we've created that handle that content distribution to the player, handle some local caching in HTML5, and do all that. And that's really what is behind the scenes of all that is JavaScript and jQuery and CSS3 and all the technologies built around HTML5 are really what's allowing us to deliver content to a lot of different devices.
You and I have had a few long conversations over cocktails talking about the weirdness of this industry, of how little attention is paid to content, and also about how difficult it can be to sell it and find a way to sell it effectively and efficiently. You've learned a lot, have you not, over the last few years?
Yeah, it's interesting coming from the website space, and I've been around long enough that I was building websites when, you know, in the first couple of years of web browsers, and things moved a lot faster then. And I always say that the plumbers came in first. That's really how things have a tendency to work. And then the designers come in, the interior designers come in second, right? With the web space, you had the IT people kind of flooding that space, but it didn't last very long. They came in and they were trying to dictate website design and functionality and servers and everything else, and then they were gone. It was like they were around in 94 and 95, and then the art department came in and said, leave us alone, we need to make things, you know, user-friendly. It didn't happen the same way with digital signage. We've still been kind of battling the pro AV hang and bang kind of screen mentality, and who cares about content? Somebody else will figure it out. And we're in an industry that's selling, you know, hardware first and what's actually on that hardware second. So it's taking a lot longer to suss itself out, but we are seeing that more and more, that the content is discussed first. What does this thing need to do? And then we'll figure out where it's going to go and what screens we're going to use and what media players we're going to use. And those are the most successful projects for everyone, and the integrators as well. But I would say the majority of our projects still come with, we're using media player XYZ. And, you know, you're like, but you know, we think that this other solution is going to be a better, deliver a richer experience or whatever else. No, can't, we're using this. And so, you know, that's still a majority of the projects, and I don't know when it's going to resolve itself, but it didn't really happen very long with other technologies, as long as it's happening in the digital signage space, where we're still kind of battling the technology comes first and not the creative.
So are you pretty dependent on kind of channel partners, resellers out there to kind of spread the gospel about what you have, or is the store really doing it for you, and is the store your future?
Store is a big, big, big part of the future. We see more and more, especially smaller integrators or non-traditional integrators like sign shops, needing content that's being driven, needing small and medium-sized business content, and that's being driven by the end customers. They're starting to see digital signage. They walk into, you know, their small restaurant, they walk in McDonald's and they want that. Now, they couldn't hire, you know, a Stratacache to do that project. They, you know, a small hotel, well, we're getting a lot of small hotel work. They can't hire 4Winds, but they want what they see at a 4Winds property. And so that's really the market that we're serving. Is we're a lot leaner than those guys. And you know, that also means we're a lot smaller than those guys. And that means we're able to satisfy that project. I think people have been going after that space for a long time and suffering in it because the jobs are so much smaller. But if they're done right and they're done effectively, you will get many of them, and it'll make up for it. And that's really where we see. But I don't believe we'll ever get away from project customization. It isn't even a desire of ours to get away from project customization. We do custom projects because that small hotel comes along and they say, we love your template, but you know, it would be better if it did this or looked like this or animated like this. And so they're buying a couple hours typically on those projects.
So this 30 minutes kind of flew by amazingly fast. One last question. Where do you see the industry going over the next couple of years? What's going to happen apart from the obvious of the 3,000 or whatever CMS systems are not all going to survive?
Yeah, I think it's not just consolidation of software solutions. I do believe it's consolidation of overall companies, despite the fact that you have CMS companies out there that are really creative solutions companies or interactive companies. We are going to see, I think, a tremendous amount more small business opportunity coming up and a lot of retrofit of that. I don't think it's happened as fast in some verticals as we want it to, but it's just not, you know, it is coming. In-house communications is going to get a lot larger. And really, it's just, you know, how many places do you walk into today and you don't see a digital sign? Small business, large business, whatever else. How many places you walk in, you don't see one that you say, oh, I can see a sign going there. Our focus is to have a solution for all of those little niche verticals and everything else, and just be able to satisfy that. I do believe that that's where we're going to see it. You're going to see screens. It's going to be inescapable, and it isn't right now. And it really isn't because there isn't a way for a small franchise or a small operator or whatever else to effectively put signage up that isn't just PowerPoint. They can do PowerPoint. They just, you know, there's really no reason for them to. So I really think we're going to be living in a very connected screen space. It's going to be a lot of growth at the bottom of the market.
Hmm. All right, Jim Nista, thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.